I'm your host, Tarun Nanda, and welcome to another episode of Growth Trigger. And with me today, I have Duncan, Andrew Duncan, who's actually the founder at Virtus Labs. He is a career technologist who has spent numerous years helping a lot of companies with product-led growth, product innovation that has led to growth. And as in Growth Trigger, we like to talk about everything growth, not just growth from marketing or growth from sales or innovation. It's really like holistic growth that our hosts, our guests have fostered in their careers. Duncan, would you like to say a few words to better introduce yourself before we get into the real meat?
For sure. Yes. Thanks for having me, first of all. I really appreciate being here. I am Andrew Duncan, founder and CEO of Virtus Labs. We specialize in custom software engineering solutions for mid-market companies and startups. And I'm really excited about talking about product growth and how some of the technology innovations now are driving additional growth, especially around AI.
Wonderful. Yeah, that would be something that I would love to talk about. Why don't we do this? I usually like to ask the first question off the bat is, give us an example of where you fostered growth. And in your case, obviously, either product-led growth or innovation or technology-led growth. Would love to hear about a story, and then we'll ask follow-up questions on that.
Yeah, 100%. So I think my favorite story to tell around this is we were working with a company to build a technology platform for them. Originally, so it was a multi-tenant SaaS application, and we were building it primarily for their anchor client to launch into the market. And my team and I, we in the war room of deciding the direction of the product, the direction of the technology, architecture, things like that. One of the engineers on the team came up with a really good idea on how to significantly improve the quality of a product with minimal impact to the timeline. And we noodled on that. We implemented the changes and released it to our anchor client, who absolutely loved it. And then we took it to market, and in our marketing campaigns, highlighted the implementation over the competitors. It was a highly competitive space. It was a space that was driven primarily by cost factors. And so being able to differentiate our product from other products in the space for this client is what gave them the edge. They have since become the industry leader in this space for their product. And that was all just from several conversations. We were thinking about what can we do to make this better, since again, we're competing on costs. And that allowed us to take the market and become the leader.
What kind of space was it, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's in the digital advertising space is what this product was.
So political digital advertising, basically.
Correct.
Got it. Wonderful. And here, basically, what you're trying to say is that there's a lot of other choices that are available to companies or people or individuals who want to do. And I'm assuming it is fundraising. That's what it is powering, basically. If it is political marketing.
There's a number of things that you can do in that space. So fundraising is one of the primary use cases, but there's things like we just here in the US, we just went through the presidential election cycle. So there's a lot of getting out to vote. There's a lot of obviously fundraising. And then there's polling and just like awareness, driving awareness about
engaging the constituents and then making sure that they actually vote. And some of them might financially support you as well by becoming donors, basically. So
yes, of course. And I think one of the things that I really like to highlight about this story is innovation. Often we'll think about innovation as like building like a new shiny feature that gives somebody some new functionality. And innovation can happen anywhere in the product development lifecycle. It can happen, again, like in the war room where the engineers are trying to figure out what they can do to improve the product. I think this idea stemmed from not only obviously making the product better for our anchor client, but also for it was to make it easier to support long term, right? And if we have to support this product into the market as it grows, as it scales, we want it to be easier on the engineering team as well. And so this idea was born from there. And so all that to say, the idea that can take your product and lead it to the next level of growth that you're trying to hit, those ideas can come from anywhere. So it's worth diving deep into those conversations, both at the strategic level and also at the boots on the ground, the tactical level, because you never know what that idea might turn into.
Great. And if we talk about your marquee client that you first rolled out the product to, what was like the experience there and what kind of results were you guys able to drive for that customer?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So the initial launch of the product for this client was successful. They were able to drive some revenue. They were able to secure their anchor client. After we went through several cycles of product enhancements, collecting feedback from the customer, and went to the larger market with this, my client generated $28 million revenue their first year, and they continued to grow exponentially in subsequent years. Because again, they started taking over the market. And more importantly, I think, is when they were able to, once they released this and they were able to grow, they got, it was a flywheel effect where they got all this feedback from now, all the new clients coming in to further enhance the product. And so that led to additional growth that we were able to capture different, like, tangential areas that the product could be used for in the same space that unlocked the product, it unlocked value in the product for additional clients. And so that created this flywheel effect that allowed the product to continue to grow and to continue to eat market share.
I remember very distinctly that one of the first people in the U.S. to run like a very digitally focused and growth-oriented campaign was Barack Obama. I remember reading about the case. I can't remember the name of the person, but there was a guy out of Austin, Texas, who actually built the whole digital strategy for Obama, and it was a game changer for him. And ever since then, every presidential and I'm sure local election campaigns, everyone has become far more digital in the last 20 years or so. And I can clearly see how they're leveraging innovation. Are you guys also thinking about infusing any kind of AI in this use case, or are you guys already done with this project? Any other projects where you're thinking about AI as a game changer when it comes to fostering growth?
Yes, absolutely. So for this particular product, there has been some talk around AI and how AI can be leveraged. I think this space is ripe for AI. I think there's a lot of insights that you can gain when people engage with your content, especially in the digital advertising space. And so you can use AI to glean all kinds of insights. How do you influence people based on what kind of content they like and their behavioral patterns, right? And so you can apply AI there to analyze patterns in the data. But I think the way that I have seen AI and the way that we are implementing AI for our clients is, I think, covers two or three main categories. The first is like enhancing the product feature, usability, user experience, right? And so you can make it a lot easier for people to interact with your product. You can add really enriching features into products today using AI that would otherwise...
Simple generative AI, basically, like if you can automate some of that and have generative AI play a role in that can be a layer on top of any product which has underlying data, basically.
Yes, any product. So that can enhance the product. The other way that I'm seeing, and I think a more impactful way, is operational efficiency in organizations. So there's a lot of organizations who they have a lot of tedious tasks or error-prone tasks that you can use AI to automate. And one of the ways that I think about approaching that is when you are implementing or you're thinking about trying to get started with AI, start really small, right? So pick a business process that you have that already exists, that is a critical part of your business operations, and apply AI, right? So you talk about what it can do, what's happening today, what it can do to that process, right? What automations it can handle. And then build that proof of concept, implement that proof of concept, and gather feedback. Is it improving the process? Is it making it less tedious? Is it easier for employees to get the job done? And then you iterate on that, right? So now you can take that piece of your business operations and apply the same AI strategy to the next piece, right? So I think about it as in the highest weighted next priority, right, that you want to improve for your business operations. And I'm finding that to be one of the largest value adds of AI today. And it's all generative AI. It can all be done with off-the-shelf LLMs to this day. It can be done in highly compliant environments, so HIPAA or financial, so health and financial. And so when companies start experimenting with AI that way, they see value rapidly, very quickly within their implementation. And they don't have to spend a year pontificating on how they should get started.
Well, that's great. So in terms of being AI ready, what are you guys seeing? If somebody's really wanting to change the game, and I think the first thing they need to understand is how AI ready they are, basically. What are the critical steps to doing that, and how can one do that quickly? Because I know like a lot of companies are still struggling with trying to figure out, what's in it for them with AI.
Yeah, it's a really good question. So it used to be with AI, it was a complicated process where you would have to curate the data, scrub the data, and get ready, get it all ready. And that was like a long, tedious process, right? We're talking about months and months of just preparing. I think with the advent of generative AI, it's not nearly as cumbersome to get prepared for AI. Again, so like my general strategy and philosophy when I'm implementing AI or recommending AI for companies is, let's just start by identifying, and I think this is where you start for on your AI readiness, is start by identifying the critical business operations that you have today, right? Which ones are the most time consuming or error prone? And once you identify that, then you prepare by deciding, how can we move the needle with this process? If we were going to implement a change here, what do we want the outcome to be? And so you start there at the high level because you want to be able to measure whatever your investment dollars are going into implement this change, right? So once you get the measurements down, the ideal outcome down, then you dive into what implementations can we execute? Are you already cloud native? If you're not cloud native, that's something you should probably consider, but you don't have to be cloud native to implement AI. And then there is still some data consideration. So if your data is disparate, you have a bunch of different data sources spread around, there is some work to be done there to be able to curate that data into a place to be consumed by AI. That work is significantly reduced by today's LLM capabilities. And those capabilities are growing every day. And so I've seen where I've done these implementations for medium-sized businesses, I have seen a 70% in efficiency gains within 3 to 6 months of an implementation.
And so that's... What do you term a medium-sized business in your definition? Because everybody has their own definition.
Yeah, good question. So in my mind, it's typically a business anywhere from about 100 to 400 million in revenue.
Got it. So I think that's great. The few things that I've learned today in discussion with you is, one is obviously when you're building a product, see how you can differentiate from the rest of the market. In your case, it was a price-sensitive market, so you wanted to create a product that actually was a money saver for the end clients and still got the job done and got it done really well. But I think our discussion on AI, it seems like companies are beginning to see some significant value that their business can derive from AI, but they're still struggling with how to go about identifying the pockets where they should implement AI and how to do that. And obviously it's not as easy as said. Doing it is not as easy as saying it, but there's a method to the madness. And it really seems to be that you start small, you identify an area where you can actually significantly improve the process, operational efficiency, or customer satisfaction by implementing automation through AI. And then once you reap those results, then you move on to the next ones, more ambitious, more higher level projects.
So agreed. Yeah. And look, that's one of the things that we specialize in, we help companies do, is identify, we go and we take a look at the business, the operations, what's happening today, and we help identify the high value, lower effort. So that way you can see the impact, you can see it work. And then once you see it for the first time, it opens up your brain on what the capabilities are, where it can be applied in the future.
Oh, that's wonderful. So anyhow, Duncan, it was great to have you on the podcast. We usually keep it to about 15 minutes. So any parting thoughts that you would like to share with the audience?
Only that AI is revolutionary, I believe. And if you haven't gotten started already, you should. If you can find us at vertislabs.io, and you can email me at duncan@vertislabs.io.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for being a wonderful guest. And the folks that are listening in, hope you guys have learned something today and you can use that in your business. Thank you.
Thank you.